Welcome to the Geeks Menagerie, Episode 4, Retro Comics.
Or is it New Mutants or X-Force?
I'm one of your hosts, Rodney Ford.
And this is Roy Folker.
Tonight we're going to go in depth into the New Mutants and its follow-up, X-Force.
So, yeah, we hope you enjoy our little open interpretation.
Well, how about we start out with a little bit of history here? The New Mutants' first appearance was in Marvel Graphic Novel number 4, which, according to a publication date, was December of 1982, at a cost of $4.95, written by Chris Claremont and penciled by Bob McLeod. You know, I don't think I ever actually read this issue. Not until later on when it came out in a reprint.
I didn't even know that one existed.
Because if I remember correctly, the Marvel Graphic Novel was essentially a trade paperback, like magazine size.
Marvel Graphic Novel? Yes, it was.
And then in 1983, issue number 1 of the ongoing series came out. Also written by Chris Claremont and penciled by Bob McLeod. At a sweet cost of 60 cents. I wish all comics still cost 60 cents. That would be great. So the first series of the New Mutants ran from 1983 to 1991. And the final issue, number 100, sold for $1.50. And if I remember correctly, had three printings.
Now you're talking the separate cover art for it, correct?
Well, every time they came up with a new printing, they did a new cover for it. If I remember correctly, issue 100 the background had a whole bunch of 100s on it. Final issue 100, and the background colors change with each printing. So the original one was purple. Second printing was white. And the third printing... No, that's not right. I'm not sure what color the third printing was. I do remember that there was a white and a purple background on at least two of them, so... But, so, what was your first introduction to the New Mutants?
Let's see. I want to say, yeah, it was you. You were collecting them at the time, I believe, if I remember correctly.
Most likely.
And I was reading, which one was it? DP, was it? Or?
DP7. Which was another alternate universe in the Marvel pantheon back in the early 80s.
Yep. Yeah, I was reading that. You were reading New Mutants, from what I remember, when we both started hanging out.
I'm trying to remember. I'm pretty positive the first time I saw the New Mutants was in Uncanny X-Men. Which is before they got their own series. But don't ask me to tell you what issue number it was, because I have no idea. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, I want to say I got started around 10.
No, that sounds about right, because I don't think I actually read... Well, no, I think I started reading it probably around issue 3 or 4.
Well, I recognize issue 4.
No, actually I picked it up at issue 2, because I remember the cover with the Sentinels on it.
The Sentinel storyline, yes.
Just to note a few that they did that were rather noteworthy. The Demon Bear Saga, which ran for 4 issues. They had one issue as part of the Mutant Massacre in 1986. And they also had a 3-issue crossover with X-Factor and Uncanny X-Men for the Fall of the Mutants in 1988. They were also in 3 issues in Inferno, issues 71 through 73, Acts of Vengeance, issues 84 through 86, and right near the end in 1990, they had the 3 issues of The Extinction Agenda, which is also a very excellent crossover between the three titles.
Well, and don't forget the Kings of Pain storyline.
Yeah, the Kings of Pain storyline basically ran through all the X titles in their annuals.
Yep. It was kind of a fun sort of, I would almost call it a split storyline from just how the main story arcs were going, and everything just sort of deviated into that, and then everything went back to its happy, hunky-dory normal self again. But it's been a long time since I've read that. All yeah. I remember is that was the series that I first got introduced to Domino.
Was she in Kings of Pain? Really?
Yep. Domino and Cable were.
Oh, well, I suppose that would have been 90 or 91. What is your favorite storyline from the original New Mutants series?
Oh, jeez. I want to say was the name, the was it called Inferno?
Inferno was the event crossover with X-Factor and Uncanny X-Men.
Yep, and that's the one where Magic becomes Darkchild and then becomes little infant Ileana.
That is true.
That one was awesome.
Good job, Marvel, on how to manipulate the market to make you as much money as possible.
Hey, that storyline was worth it.
Have you read it recently?
No.
I'll loan it to you. It's not as good as you might remember. That was, it basically was right near the end of, the last of the decent crossover books for Marvel. So I'm pretty sure Jim Shooter was gone by the time, Inferno happened.
No, that was right around his heyday. Because that was right above the time of the Cable storyline.
No, Shooter was gone for that.
Really?
I'm almost positive. Yeah, he's not even listed as an editor on the New Mutants by 91. Basically, yeah, it's, let's see if he's during Secret Wars 2. Yep, so Secret Wars 2, Jim Shooter was still editor-in-chief. And that was in 1985. I think he was still there in 87. He was there for the Fall of the Mutants. Yeah, so he was editor-in-chief until 1987.
1987, yep.
Yep. Well, if we're going to go that far, or events that directly affected the New Mutants, I think I would have to go with Extinction Agenda.
Yeah.
Because Extinction Agenda really, really affected the New Mutants.
Wasn't that the one where Warlock got all messed up?
No, Cameron Hodge came back. Or no. The Extinction Agenda is with Genosha. The yep. island of Genosha went and captured all the mutants and imprisoned them.
Yep.
And I think Cameron Hodge was actually behind that too. That was after the whole thing where he killed Angel and Apocalypse and all that storyline came in.
Yeah.
X-Factor, another one of the greatest books ever.
Yeah, X-Factor was only good up to a certain point. Then it started going stale, but now who would you say was the best headmaster for the New Mutants?
I always liked Magneto. Because it was early on, Xavier was off in space doing something with the Shi'ar Empire, I think, with Liliandra.
And so, he had gotten messed up.
Yeah, so Magneto took over as headmaster. And plus, the kids were still young enough at the time where it made a bit more sense. Obviously, the stories later on when Cable took over were also fun, but by that point, they were kind of seasoned heroes by that point. And Cable just polished them into a covert ops team, basically.
Yep. See, I liked the Cable storylines the best. However, the artwork during the Magneto era, I think, was the best.
I have to agree. Obviously, we had Rob Liefeld doing work when Cable was on the book.
Everyone has a six-pack.
You mean a 14-pack? Or a...
Yeah.
Now, I will admit, it was a certain style, but I will admit, I actually kind of enjoyed it. I mean, When you think of characters from the New Mutants, especially at the end of that before X-Force started, it's kind of hard to not picture, say, Longshot or Shatterstar or Thunderbird drawn the way Liefeld did it.
Okay. Yeah.
Deadpool.
Some of the characters, yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, who's the guy with the eye? The lucky guy.
Longshot.
Yes.
But Longshot was part of the X-Men. Shatterstar was from the same universe as Longshot, but he was part of the New Mutants.
Yep, but there was that one point in time where Liefeld was doing just a bunch of scattered art, and you had Shatterstar, Longshot, and Cable. And I want to say all three of them ended up on the cover of one comic, and they looked like the same person.
It's because they were.
It just looks so goofy because here you have three characters from basically three different generations of the Marvel storyline, and they're all the exact same character, and it just was sort of, at that point in time, I stopped collecting Marvel.
Yeah, this was around the time period where it was still pretty much my peak Marvel stuff, but the only thing I really read was pretty much all the X-books. Because they did such a good job of doing crossovers with each other, it was hard for me to not read them.
Yep.
Plus, you had a lot of good small story arcs going on in the New Mutants books. Pretty much anything with Magic when she was in Hell. Or was it Limbo? Limbo.
But yeah, Magic... Yeah, Magic is from Limbo.
Who do you think is your favorite character from the original New Mutants? Pre-X-Force.
That one's actually a little hard for me. I'm kind of torn between Magic and Warlock. Just because you have one that is, you know, the sweet, innocent little girl who's actually a complete psychopathic killer. And then you have the other one, which is this goofy-looking, weird sort of entity that just was the odd man out. He'd never really fit in anywhere or really seemed to be the right person at the right place, but he was always there. I don't know. It's kind of torn between the two.
Well, in defense of Magic, she technically was not a psychotic, bloodthirsty person until much later in the storyline. At this point in the books, early on, she was just... She was just a kid who could teleport and had a soul sword. And there wasn't a whole lot of her actually wanting to go and kill everything.
True. Yeah, that wasn't until the whole Dark Child story.
Right, when she lost her soul.
Yep.
Although I do like the fact that Kitty was the only other person excuse me, that was able to wield the soul sword.
Yep. And, yeah, apparently it immediately went to her the moment that Ileana became a small little infant again.
Yep. And I don't think, did they ever do anything with that storyline? Like, did they ever explain where this sword went to? Because Kitty could have probably used that anytime she wanted to. And they just kind of left that kind of drop off.
Yep, thank God they did. It had too much potential of just being too painful. And as far as I know... Well, yeah, it was shortly after that Kitty went from X-Men to X-Factor.
Excalibur.
Or Excalibur.
Yep.
Yeah, Kitty went to Excalibur, and they just sort of dropped the whole sword storyline, as far as I knew. That should have been around 89. No, earlier than that.
I think it was 86. I think I would have to say, yeah, I'm in the category of toss-up also, because Magma and Magic were my two favorite characters.
Magma? Why? I never really saw anything in her.
She can raise frickin' volcanoes, for God's sakes. That's like the greatest ability ever. And on top of that, she was from a lost Roman colony.
Eh, Alright, I'll give you that.
Who, in 1983, still thought that they were the center of the universe and the Roman Empire controlled the world. Which is awesome.
I had to have missed that storyline at some point.
Yeah, it was her first appearance. I believe it was issue 2 or 3.
Seems so fitting.
Yeah, because Cannonball has a fight to the death in the arenas.
Now that, to me, is hilarious. Cannonball's virtually indestructible.
Only when he's flying.
True.
And also another good reason to read that book, because Sal Buscema did the artwork on it.
Hmm.
I always liked Sal's work.
You're in for hilarious? Neither of us named off an original New Mutant. That's priceless.
All right, well, so then, too late. You already kind of jinxed it. Who were the original mutants? Were Danny Moonstar, Cannonball, Doug, or Cypher?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Well, then, those are the only three I can think of that were the originals, and Sunspot.
Sunspot, Moonstar, Wolfsbane, and Karma. Cannonball.
See, I completely forgot about Karma because she's a very forgettable character.
Yep. She was the original leader, though, who was a complete and utter sissy and scared of herself.
Well, in her defense, she could take control of people's minds.
True.
Actually, no, she could, like, take over their bodies, couldn't she?
Yeah, she completely possessed them.
Right, right.
Yeah. And I thought she went evil at one point. I don't know. She, like, vanished from my mind fairly quickly.
Yeah, I think we all pretty much said the same thing. There's a reason why they had to add Magma and Warlock and...
Yep. Magic and Cypher were added. And apparently Karma died. That's the goodness of that one.
Yeah, apparently that's not true because Karma is still alive. The same character is in the new series, which just ended.
Well, it is listed as her apparent death, which in Marvel speak means she took a small vacation.
You're not dead because we might need you down the road.
Mm-hmm. And even if you are dead, you may still come back in Universe 572.
Egads.
Where everything except for your death was exactly the same.
We are currently reading X-Verse Issues 1 and 2.
In tandem.
Yeah. Let's see if we can... let's see, who wrote these? Was this Rob? Did Rob write both of these?
Well, in one, he does everything but...
No. In two, Fabian Nicieza? Words and Insomnia. Okay, then.
Yeah, he does words in one.
So, we can blame Rob for both the books. For everything for both the books. Apparently, Fabian is guilty of the lines.
Wow. Okay, I'm going to just run through this real quick because it's too freaking hilarious. Rob Liefeld, everything but Fabian Nicieza, words, Chris Eliopoulos, letters. Yeah, apparently while one guy's writing the words, the other guy's writing the letters. I won't ask.
Oh, that Chris guy in issue 2 does letters and tequila.
Ah, okay. He's expanding.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then Brad Venkata does color art.
And goatees in the second issue.
He grew a goatee. Good for him. Bob Harris apparently does nothing but has baggy eyes. Drew them.
In issue 2, he edits and exhaustion.
And then Tom DeFalco is baggy boss.
Issue 2, he is sausage and peppers. Yeah, now that should give you a little hint into exactly how the books are going to sound.
Yeah. So, yeah, first thing I noticed right off the bat with issue 1 is that while Domino is on the first page of the comic, she is taken out of the title page. Yeah. Oh, I'm apparently blind.
There she is.
Yeah, she was just written into the seam, so I didn't open the comic enough. All right, X-Force begins with Cannonball, Domino, Small Head, Big Body, Cable, Shatterstar while taking a crap, Boom Boom, Feral, and Warpath. I think I got all of them in that.
Looks like it.
Yep. And yeah, it's the interesting part is it's listed as Stan Lee Presents, but as far as I know, Stan Lee actually had nothing to do with this other than having his name tattooed on it.
Pretty much, yeah. And also noted that Cable looks like a linebacker from the NFL.
Yes.
With his gigantic shoulder pads. Yay! Thank you, 1991!
His kneecap is bigger than him on the second page.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, remember the I crush your head from Kids in the Hall?
Yep.
Yeah, he's got a tiny little head in his gigantic body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his guns are bigger than his head. God, that's hilarious. Well, we'll start out with, we got Boomer here going off about how, yeah, at this rate, I'll run out of time bombs before, and be all pooped out. Who says pooped out?
Well, technically, she's still a kid, so maybe that's how they were trying to write her.
I guess. They should have talked to more kids before coming up with the script. And Warpath follows up with, but your mouth will keep running, right? And then Feral threatens to rip out her tongue.
There's an awesome full-page ads for Battletoads, though.
Battletoads.
Oh, Battletoads, sorry.
Yes.
Battletoads.
Compared to Battletoads, turtles seem like pond scum. Nice.
Someone was reaching.
Oh, yeah. Wait, hold on a second. Okay, so now you have a page with Cable with a really big freaking gun. However...
Yeah, I just skipped one.
Oh, no. I was looking for that. Yeah, he does not have that gun with him when he's diving in.
You can't even see his hands.
He's got a sword. He's got the other plasma rifle.
Oh, okay. There it is.
And, yeah, his one arm, I think, is ripping out a cable up above, but you can't really see. And then when you get to the scene with a shot, he still has his plasma cannon on his back and his sword, but it's upside down now with the blade pointed up.
He's going to cut his freaking hand off.
No, actually, this Shatterstar is backup sword.
It is, yeah. He's got both swords out, one in each hand, so it just looks like it's on Cable's back.
But that was a sword on his back. Oh, no, there are two plasma cannons there. Okay, never mind. That makes sense. We'll have to cut that.
After further examination, we've determined we're blind.
Just me.
I didn't notice the two either. All right, so on this page, they introduce Freedom Force.
The Mutant Liberation Force.
Oops. I'm getting it confused because I was reading New Mutants earlier and Freedom Force was in it, so... Okay, edit that. All right.
And they look like twisted versions of Domino, Feral, and...
Well, there's nobody like Forearm. Yeah. Although he looks like Hercules with an extra set of arms.
Yep. Actually, these both look like Hercules. One has an extra set of arms. The other one flies. But, yeah, you got Forearm, Kamikaze, Wildside, and Reaper.
And we also get to see my favorite villains from the Liberation Front, which was Zero. He was their android teleporter.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah. He's pretty awesome.
Yeah, he is introduced in this, isn't he?
Yep.
Nice.
A little Shatterstar action.
Come to play, buffoon. Come to die.
Shaq. Apparently Shaq is a combat... Oh, dang. Took his arm off.
You still won't kill me. It's not your way. My way and the way of my mates... Maybe two completely different things, Reaper. Oh, funny. The entire time, Reaper's ranting about how he's willing to kill, but Shatterstar isn't. And Shatterstar claiming that he is going to murder him, only to not actually murder him in the end.
Yeah, that's I think he says weird. Something how... I think Cable tells him he's not supposed to kill, and that's why he's not going to.
And then Warpath comes up and takes care of Forearm.
Warpath is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Warpath 2, technically. Because his brother died.
Yep.
Another full-page spread with Strife in full armor.
That is the largest set of double-nippled male boobs I've ever seen in my life.
It's so he can jack into hydraulics and...
Yeah, jack in. Sure. Dude, he's like the anti-Cable. Instead of a small head...
That's true.
He's got really freaking tiny feet.
Well, that is the... That right there is the drawback of Rob Liefeld. He never could draw feet. That's why pretty much every book you see, he almost never draws the lower torso of characters.
Yeah, that is utterly impressively funny looking. We have to nail Strife. Okay, now it's starting to sound like a porn.
There's a cool shot of Feral, though.
Oh, yeah.
She's jumping through the pages. Going after the other version of Feral, Wildside, with the same hairdo. Real original, guys.
Yeah, that literally looks like basically... It's the same person fighting themselves.
Right. Except one has eye makeup and the other one has fur.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god. She actually said, what's the matter, bat got your tongue? Oh, cat, sorry. I can read! Oh yeah, she does.
There's Zero.
Yep. Let me guess, this is going to be another one. Well, I suppose it's just going to be a bunch of almost killings.
Yeah, people get messed up and then they escape.
Feral, did you kill him? No, but if you give me a minute... Oh, you can kill for self-defense, but not for sport. Oh, boy.
Cable, the mercenary that cares.
Yeah, that never made any sense to me. He was supposed to be just some cold-blooded bastard, but he always seemed to care just a little bit.
Remind you of Cyclops?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Cyclops, I get a kick out of. The guy's got laser beams for eyes and never kills anyone.
Mm-mm.
How is that even possible?
It's amazing. Blunt force trauma with laser beams to every villain. Now, that's a nice relative splash page with Domino and Boom Boom. Notice, feet are hidden,
or
feet
tucked
are
back.
Tiny.
Yep. And, oh, jeez. She's got a freaking horse foot!
In her sunglasses?
No!
Oh my god.
He drew a horse leg.
I should highlight that and put it on the blog. Domino literally has a horse foot.
I think that's supposed to be her toes coming down, but wow.
That's scary. Why do they all have headgear? It's like they're all waiting to get concussions.
I have no idea. Oh, this is some impressive stuff here. I miss the sound effects. Shing, froom, krakatathum, shashish.
That's something you smoke, I think.
I wonder if they sounded these things out while they were writing them. I mean, you'd have to be drunk. That's the only thing I could think of. And they wrote that off as a win, even though everybody got away except one guy lost an arm. Well, one of the bad guys.
Oh, yeah, Sunspot left to join the Immortals.
Because
he's one of them.
I did not realize that. Hmm.
That happened in New Mutants 97, I want to say? Or was it 99? Nope, 99.
Yeah, Cannonball ends up going to, what is it, the Externals or something like that?
No, that was Sunspot.
It was Sunspot? Okay.
Yeah.
Why did I always think it was Cannonball? Hmm.
No, he pretty much stayed glued to Cable's side.
Sort of a sick Batman Robin thing.
So yeah, the part switches over to Sunspot hanging out with Gideon and the Externals.
Yeah, beating up some robots.
Must be training.
Yep. In an apartment. Wow, that is just psychotic. And do you see this writing? You should put that up on the blog, too. That is just weird.
Is he singing?
I don't know. Let's give it a try. See how it works. I know. The one you do agree with is that only through constant practice can we hone our mutant abilities to their razor's edge. Okay, so he's supposed to be speaking sort of...
sarcastically.
Yeah, condescendingly, yeah.
Yeah.
That's another one I can go through... in my sleep. Nevertheless, Mr. Smart Aleck, it pays to be prepared in business and in pleasure. It can mean the difference between life and death. Seriously? He has pleasurable moments that may end in death? He's a weirdo.
And you also notice it seems like everybody has replacement cybernetic arms.
Yeah.
And they all look like Colossus. All their arms do.
Yep. Well, he did a good job with Sunspot, at least.
Well, he doesn't have cybernetic arms, so yeah. It's kind of hard to screw him up. Just paint him black and put an aura around him.
Yes, a gold aura with black spots.
I like this line, though. Gideon is following Sunspot in this panel, and it says, 3 o'clock World Trade Center. Bring several tourniquets. Sunspot says, they're going to need some when we bleed them to death. Ha, ha, ha.
And then Gideon, with an eye shot, the pupil learns every day.
Good wow. times. Yeah. Ah, yes, more shoulder pads.
Is that Bishop?
No, that's G.W. Bridge, I think is his name.
Okay. Yeah,
I think is he supposed to be a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent? I can't remember.
I think so. He's making reference to S.H.I.E.L.D., and the guy apparently has no pupils. Or he's staring cross-eyed, I can't tell which.
It's because it's cold, his eyes can't dilate. Or they're over-dilated.
Holy God, he's Santa Claus in this shot with 10-foot-long legs and his pants hiked up to his belly button.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's got the sweet wedgie going on.
Oh, wow, comic book moose knuckle. Always look forward to that. Oh, wow, that is impressive.
Ooh, check it out. X-Force is back at the Batcave.
Mm-hmm. Oh, don't forget, right here we have the primitive people in front of the fireplace in the background.
They literally look like stick people in the distance. Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, God. Ah, too fun. Are you listening to me? Yep. Need a hand with the diagnostic chip? Nope. Can I ask you a question? Yep. Oh, God, I read that as we had the MILF. We had the MLF in the palm of our hands yesterday. Why'd we let him get away?
The MILF in the palm of your hand.
Why'd I let the MILF go?
Well, then it wasn't MILF, it was MLF.
Yeah.
Just to make sure if anybody doesn't know who X-Force fought.
Yeah.
It's a deranged MILF.
Okay, this part I don't get. They were kicking MLF's butt in every way, shape, and form with absolutely nobody in danger. And Cable's response is, we severely crippled both their operations and their manpower. To have tried to go beyond that would have jeopardized our unit more than I would have been prepared. No, you kill them, they're done, you move on, everybody's happy.
Yeah, that doesn't make for a long running story, though.
True. You kill off too many bad guys, there's nobody left.
It's a done-in-one story. Check it out. Awesome full shot of Cannonball with no feet.
And more moose knuckle.
And one of his feet, because it was so poorly drawn, was covered up by word bubbles.
Yes. Yeah, that's the other thing. He does give the permanent wedgie to guys. I never noticed that before.
Yeah, he's got a thing for crotches. Except for on women, apparently.
But, again, he makes Domino look like a dude. A dude with really huge breasts.
Yeah, well, that's true. But, you know, in his defense, if the breasts weren't augmented, you'd never know that it was a woman.
True. Yeah, some of the shots aren't bad. Where most of these on the 32nd page, you could buy her being a chick.
An old, old chick.
Yeah.
She looks like she's 75.
But, yeah, between the details of Cable and her, you could almost make out every single form in Cable within her. I mean, right down to the necklines, the muscle lines.
Well, they're all exactly the same.
Yeah, when he draws.
Domino's the only one you can actually see her eyes. The rest of them, like Cable, is all squinty. Yep. Like he's staring into a headlight.
When did he have telekinesis?
He had minor telekinesis.
Oh, okay.
Got it from his mom.
Their bark is nothing compared to my bite. From now on, just be a little more discreet, okay? Apparently, Domino does not want Cable biting her in public. Wow, that is the longest... Oh, no, it's two separate speech bubbles at first. It looked like it was a train of them leading up to Gideon.
Oh, yeah.
And...
they do really hard transitions, too. There's no seamless transition where you definitely know what scene you're going from. They went from the X-Force cave right into Gideon and DaCosta in a downtown Manhattan high-rise building.
Yep, the World Trade Center, just immediately, with even an overlay of Domino on top of the World Trade Center.
Right. Very bad page layout. But at least Black Tom's in the next page, which is pretty cool. Banshee's cousin? Or uncle.
Uncle.
I think it's his uncle.
Gideon, Mr. DaCosta, if you could please have a seat, we can begin. Is she? And then some. Pretty enough to pity. Was this speech bubble supposed to be above that? Or
What does it say on the page before? Anything? They're talking about ordering coffee. It's called the Allure. Then it is aptly named. What?
Yeah, I'm totally freaking lost.
They go from the Allure of some chick to ordering coffee. I'm very confused.
To a couple of thugs and what's his face? And his name is Tom Cassidy. Okay, fine. I'll call him Tom Cassidy. He's here to make you a counter-offer you simply can't refuse. What was the initial freaking offer?
These are details that will be revealed at a later date.
Oh, wow, we had it totally backwards. Banshee's his uncle. Or no, just cousins.
Yeah, they're cousins.
Yeah. It's Black Tom. He's Banshee's cousin. Not here.
Oh, you know what? What part of the problem might be?
What's that?
I bet if we went and reread issue 99 and 100 of New Mutants, this story would probably make more sense.
Yeah, it's an interesting interjection, and as far as I can tell...
But if you're the first-time reader and you just picked this book up, I'd be pretty pissed.
And the irony is that I'm sure the story develops somewhere along in X-Force. I don't remember it. And I never remember Sunspot being a really big character in X-Force.
Well, he wasn't really with X-Force. He was pretty much with the Externals.
Yeah, but why is his story running side by side in X-Force? Because they have nowhere else to put it?
Well, because Gideon is a side story with Cable.
Yeah.
So they branched off to try to make two separate storylines.
They fail.
Is that supposed to be Nick Fury? Because that's horrible.
Yes, that is Nick Fury. That is the worst Nick Fury I've ever seen in my life. Oh, God. And he calls him Nicholas.
Hugh. Yeah.
This better be good, Bridge. The MLF base in Antarctica was trashed. Definite signs of high-tech activity. Same signature to the weaponry. Bigger than a John Hancock. It's Cable.
That's what she said.
Aim. I can deal with. Hydra's like a kiss from my grandmother. But this guy... What's his game? You have the authority to do whatever is necessary, Bridge. Just bring this guy in. Understood. Nicholas, Bridge out. Oh, wow. I did not realize they did that. Wait a second. Since when does S.H.I.E.L.D. control Weapon X?
They didn't, as far as I knew. It was always Canada. Department H.
Oh, he's bringing in Department K to unleash Weapon X on Cable. Bridge, GW. Well, that's nice. They have the Cable guide at the end of this, which is kind of nice.
Cable with character biases?
Yep.
That is pretty cool.
That's the one thing I did like about X-Force and Cable is they did go pretty well into the backstories of every character, and you got a lot of the biographies out of the way.
All right. Well, as far as I can tell, 99 or 100 has absolutely nothing to do with DaCosta. So, Sunspot, there is no reference to him whatsoever, or the coffee that they're ordering.
I have a feeling that's just something that they're planning on developing, or they planned on developing. I'm talking like these are new comics.
On the cover, we have the new Weapon X, which his name is Kane, and he is fighting Deadpool.
Now that makes sense.
Now, I will admit, maybe it's because everything is in red and dark tones, but these panels actually look pretty decent. And you can actually see Deadpool's feet. And Kane's, and they don't look horrible.
Well, he's got a little bit of horse leg going on there.
Yeah. But the writing is completely horrible as usual. This is Deadpool. Not bad, kiddo. But I've had my face busted up by experts, and you just don't cut it. Get it? Cut it? I kill me. But first, I kill you.
Wow.
I just want to state for the record, this is when Deadpool was actually cool, before they turned him into a comedy relief. Ah, there's an entire page where he does everything he can to hide people's feet.
Wow, that is utterly impressive.
Except for one. Top of 1 foot.
Yeah, but it's kind of blended into the head.
Yeah, camouflage.
That is utterly impressive. An entire page of combat with no feet visible. Well, 1 foot visible.
Once again, here's another horribly written line. This is Kane as he brings the whoop down, or the smackdown on Deadpool. It ends where it began, Deadpool. Want to sing a chorus of O Canada? Deadpool says, I hate this country. I've always hated this country. I hated Department H. I hated the Weapon X program. And I hated you, you dirty-nosed, prepubescent punk.
Yeah.
Okay, then. All right.
But there's a wonderful ad for riffs on the other side of that page. That was actually interesting.
Hold on. Got to get back to that. That's an awesome, awesome ad for riffs.
Yeah, they got feet.
Actually, one of these has an even cooler... The whole back page is an ad for AD&D Dragonlance.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, it's one of these. I don't remember which one it is, though.
Is it that one?
No, that's a wraparound cover.
Nah.
Sit, Ubu, sit.
Yes, and the best skill that Weapon X has that... okay, I'm just lying on that. The dumbest skill Weapon X has, he shoots his hand off. We're talking straight up... action toy effect.
It's the one bonus of having another character with cybernetic cyborg arms. You can shoot your hand, apparently. Seriously, he has a knack for hiding feet. There is not a single panel on either page that shows anybody's feet.
Wow, and yeah, the scenes where there should be feet...
covered by boxes.
What's with the hand, though? It's just, like, floating there.
I think it's returning to his arm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yep.
But yeah, that's impressive. How many panels is this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 panels. Oh, there are feet. In the 10th panel, there are feet.
Yes, but in once again, the characters are shrunk down to about a 16th of the rest of the pages.
And there's actually no background in that panel whatsoever. It's just two characters.
Although Deadpool is doing the ninja... run with the arms behind his back.
True.
Which is pretty cool. It's like straight out of Naruto. Bridge, what are you doing here? Kane's got the upper hand on Deadpool. You didn't have to shoot him. You just shot him with your freaking hand. I know, I wanted to.
Okay, I find that utterly interesting considering there is absolutely no way Weapon X should have been able to take out Deadpool.
Pretty much. Although I like this line. This is Kane. I'm not the little green kid you can order around anymore, Bridge. Well, at least the banter between Bridge and Kane is better.
Oh, that's interesting, because in the last comic, they had absolutely no idea what Cable was doing. But in this one, Bridge goes, calls them the X-Force. Mutant band, I gather. How do you even know what they're called if you don't even know if they're actually mutants? You don't even know who's in it! Oh, boy.
And the best part of it is, they spent so much time glaring at each other and talking that Deadpool vanished. Well, of course, he has a personal teleporter. Everybody should have one of those.
Yep.
Are we sure he's not related to Jack from Doctor Who?
Actually, yeah, Deadpool would be kind of like that.
He has a personal transporter.
Mm-hmm. But no, that's... I want to say that's the technology that Cable brought with him.
And...
what the?
That's disproportionate aspects between the characters' heads and their bodies just baffles me.
You think that, look at that right there. That's like 10-year-old artwork at its best.
Try to fill the page with as many panels as possible, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Which means Cannonball's got to be his favorite character to draw because you never see his feet when he's flying.
I didn't even think about that.
And grass and hill and grass and word balloons. Once again, barely any feet in this picture at all.
Yeah, Boomer's in front of Warpath's feet, and then there are word bubbles in front of Boomer's feet. That is excellent execution of hiding.
Okay, so apparently Boomer, or Boom Boom, who can create bombs her mutant ability, now has handy-dandy new wrist launchers.
Yep, so she can send them flying further.
She can generate them at will.
Yeah, but she has to throw them. The wrist launcher allows them to shoot them further.
Yeah, okay.
They're time bombs.
Okay, yeah. I guess that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Okay, now once... Apparently Cable's head now has been put in a vise because it's nice and elongated.
Yeah, he finally started drawing a bigger Cable head. And he shortened his legs a little bit, but he still has the incredibly long feet. And in this one, his toes, like, or his feet actually, like, fade out to look like a paintbrush.
Still look horrible, though.
Yeah.
Although, I do have to admit, if you look at issue 99 and 100 of New Mutants to compare it to issue 2, he's improved a bit. It's not quite as messy as it was at the end of New Mutants.
And Farrell has also got to be one of his favorite characters to draw because he draws hands for feet.
That's true.
Tends to work a little bit better. But yeah, check out that frame. It's beautiful. You got Warpath, you got Cannonball, and you got Farrell. And you see no one's legs in the entire frame.
Well, you see thighs because the people running, that's the indicator. One knee is in the air.
Yep, and you get to see a knee to know that they're moving. You know... Until you mentioned that today, I never noticed that was one of his big weak points. I always thought it was the weirdly elongated chest with the small head. But no, he really actually wasn't a good artist.
So apparently the X-Force team is playing, it's training in the woods. Yep, they're attacking each other in the woods.
And, okay, a little harsh. It's not that he's not a good artist. It's that, yeah, we'll just say that he's not a good artist. Or something like that.
I actually don't mind Liefeld, or whichever way you want to pronounce it. It's just, there's so many little flaws in his style that are kind of annoying. But I can't really say a whole lot, because I'm not drawing a comic either, so.
Yeah, I can't draw, so ripping on him is easy enough in that regard. But, I mean, he definitely, you know, has a following. I just don't like his artwork. Or his legs. Or his heads. Or everybody having a six-pack.
No, I have to admit, at least his female bodies look pretty proportioned correctly.
Yeah.
It's just all the men have 5 billion rippling muscles on top of a frame that should not exist. Call 1-900-288-X-Men and battle the X-Men's deadliest enemies. Well, geez, this must not have cost parents $1 billion at all.
900 number?
How to play. You'll start by battling Magneto's henchmen, summon the appropriate X-Men based on their powers and confrontation at hand. Wait for the cue, then activate your powers by pressing the star key within the designated time. Then, go one-on-one with Magneto and earn your reward by answering as many X-Men trivia questions as you can. Wow. They've got some panels here. Wolverine, Iceman, Cyclops, and Banshee. Press 1... Time between 2 to 4 seconds. Power slices through any surface with adamantium claws. Press 2. Time between 1 and 3 seconds. Power shoots. Sub-zero cold blasts. Cyclops. Press 3. Time between 3 to 5 seconds. Power shoots optic force blasts. Banshee. Press 4. It's movie phone. Time between 4 to 6 seconds. Powers... vanquishes enemies with Sonic Scream. Let's see, what can you win? This will be interesting. Ooh, level 1. Plate signed X-Men number 1 cover of your choice. Product coupons. Level 2. Cover coupons plus a special edition X-Men poster.
Okay, I gotta ask, what the hell is a cover coupon?
I don't know. I do not know what a cover...
It sounds like a
prize claim. To claim prizes, print your choice of cover along with your name, address, age, phone number, and prize claim number on a 3x5 card.
What year did this come out?
91. How? What? Okay, oh, and just so you do know, because it is a 1-900 number, it's $1.75 for the first minute, 75 cents each additional minute. Maximum calls... of 4 minutes long.
Hey, at least it was nice they set a max.
And it's void in Maryland, Arizona, Virginia, and Georgia. And we're prohibited.
Where it's illegal for us to scam you by phone, you can't call.
But just remember, rotary dials are not eligible.
Does it say that?
It says touch tone phones only. And yes, we're old. We know what a radio...
Oh, God.
Jesus!
Rotary.
Rotary dial phone is.
I felt my brain just go squish.
I never even knew that this was in here.
I'm glad because
all right. So if anybody out there in 1991 actually called in, drop us a line and let us know, because I want to know if somebody actually called in and did this X-Men battle game. I'm going to scan this and put this on the blog. I think I'm going to, just because I want to know if anybody else has ever played it.
Telephone mudding. It's a new sensation.
Well, it looks like the wrist launchers make Boom Boom at least more accurate as she shoots Cable in the face.
Sweet.
Looks more like Dazzler's powers than... it might help if you break up the color.
Yeah, what's with the beam? I mean, she shoots a ball, for God's sake.
Yeah, she generates a little ball and throws it, but apparently the wrist launchers form it into a laser beam from her wrist.
Yeah.
Wait, yeah, oh, okay, that is her wrist. It's just back behind her hand.
Which is the other interesting part, because she generates them in the palm of her hand. How does she do that? Whoop! Bam! I don't get it.
It's a new style.
Yeah. It's Gangnam style. Yeah, I went there. Okay, now that is just beyond not fair.
Gratuitous boob shot?
No, I was thinking the fact that the guy that's practicing with two swords against anyone. I mean, how could he actually practice?
Without killing them? That's hard to say.
I mean, he could have at least used, like, Boken or something like that.
That's awesome. Feral jumps at Shatterstar. Shatterstar says, "What is the saying on this world of barks and bites?" My question is the first panel, she's jumping at him.
Uh-huh.
Second panel, he smashes her in the face with the butt of his sword. Third panel,
she's jumping at him again.
She must have turned back around and jumped at him again.
Yeah.
Okay.
He must have let her up.
Well, we all know fight scenes should be completely exact when you're reading a comic from 1991.
Now, your brain's supposed to handle the transition between the frames.
And in 91, it probably did.
Mm-hmm. And the dialogue was fun.
Well, that's true. I actually don't, well, no, I mind the dialogue a little bit, but it's not that bad. So Feral gets mad because Cannonball takes her out, and she lashes at him and cuts his uniform open. Does a little more than that, actually. Messes him up. He goes down.
Yeah, it's a gut shot.
Okay, whose arm is grabbing her in this panel? Because I can't tell.
Oh, she gets backhanded by, or gets slapped by Shatterstar.
Oh, okay. All right. All she can see is a giant arm looming over the back of Cable. And you see a hand. Okay, yeah. I guess that is behind Shatterstar.
Yeah, Shatterstar is the only one with an arm unaccounted for in the general vicinity of Impact. So two of the team members get taken out by team members. Cute.
Wow, there's another sweet transition. They jump right back to one panel on the bottom of the page that goes back to New York with Tom Cassidy, Gideon, and some chick that we still don't know the name of.
And now Roberto's completely disappeared from this.
Yeah, looks like he has. Oh, her name is Ariana.
That means nothing to me, but cool.
The interdimensional locator and teleporter is just what I needed. And finding someone to kidnap the heads of all the companies trying to buy me out was what I needed.
Wait, did he just say is what I needed twice? Yep. It's just what I needed. Was what I needed.
No, the yeah, she said it. It goes from one panel where she's obviously talking on top of the building to the next panel down, which is a close-up of Tom Cassidy and Ariana, and Ariana repeats the same line she just previously said.
Oh, maybe this is supposed to be Tom talking, because you can't really tell.
Yeah, there's just stick figures up on top of a... No, it's Tom. You see, he's holding his staff up. You can barely see it, but he's got something.
She's right there, and he's right there. Yeah, he's right there, and the bubble just sort of points to nowhere. Yeah.
Well, Black Tom doesn't own the company. She does. So it's got to be her saying both lines.
Oh, yeah, good point. That makes it completely retarded. Oh, no. Black Tom probably needed the teleporter. And she needed her company, so that was probably the exchange. Okay, that's making sense.
Well, Black Tom is a thief, so a teleporter would come in handy for him.
All right.
And so, then an instantaneous... Well, no, see, they at least put the header in the next panel. X-Force Headquarters. Adirondack Mountains. 10:22 a.m.
And meanwhile, Weapon X still has not made it to them yet.
And Cable's apologizing about Feral being Feral. And then we turn the page.
And the interdimensional teleporter has started. And again, perfect execution of the removal of feet. Wow. There's a building ledge at the perfect height so that no feet shall be drawn.
It looks like he's trying to... Oh, he's summoning Juggernaut. Because Juggernaut and him were a team.
Yeah.
As he says right here, I need you, Kane. And then, kaboom! Bloody bleep, bleep, bleep.
Oh, she didn't realize what he was doing.
There he is.
Yep.
Last page, giant two-page splash panel of Juggernaut.
Bingo, bango, boom. Boombo?
Boingo?
Boingo.
Boingo.
The Juggernaut is back. Kane?
Next issue, Twin Tower Takeover. Guest starring Spider-Man.
I do get a kick out of the fact that the whole issue was hyped up as a Weapon X issue. And Weapon X has nothing to actually do with X-Force at this point.
Right.
I don't think that happens till like 4 or 5, but it's been a while.
Well, I can safely say that I don't think I need to read any more X-Force right now.
Yeah, no, I'm... Which ones?
Well, I introduce myself as the host, and then... Because we're co-hosts, not just...
Yeah.
Doesn't matter, it didn't sound right. The rest of them we did it the right way, so... All right, in summary, what do you think of the beginning of X-Force?
Well, now I remember why I stopped at around 4 or 5.
I think I did too.
Yeah, it's an interesting series. I can't really deal with Liefeld's art. But the characters in it can be interesting. The dialogue is atrocious, and I'm glad I'm 20 years older now.
Yeah, I have to agree. The problem is I do like a lot of the characters that are in the book, but... Yeah, the story is just horrible, and it jumps around way too much.
Yeah.
You've got S.H.I.E.L.D., you've got the MLF, you've got X-Force, you've got Gideon and DaCosta. They're trying to cram way too much into one book. I think if they had simplified it a little bit, it probably would have been a better story.
Yeah, they could have even run two different, completely separate story arcs and gotten away with it. Have, you know, a tandem S.H.I.E.L.D. storyline with this, or...
Right.
Well, they didn't have anything for the Eternals, their Externals at that point.
Pretty much. Yeah, that external storyline ran through X-Force.
Yeah.
That was pretty much dedicated to that book.
So, yeah, that... I guess, yeah, they really didn't have a way to deal with the content that they wanted to cover without introducing more, so...
True. I don't know. Well, I hope you enjoyed the discussion with the New Mutants and X-Force. I guess that'll do it for this episode, and we'll catch you next time.